Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Wednesday Night Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Woohoo!
Old school again here, just me and the puppet.
Yeah, I know. And it just really sucks that you're here.
Okay, I mean, see ya.
It's just better. Oh, you want a great show. We got a lot to get to tonight, folks. I don't know what show it is, but we're going to be talking a lot about, well, 10 miles, an open Bible, and the Centenary Award, and everything else. And anyway, I don't know. Maybe Chad is useful after all.
All right, then I'll come back, I guess. All right, I guess we will do our Under the Radar show tonight and not have David talk about Open Bible College for 3.5 hours, because that would really, really be lousy. But yeah. David, why don't you tell everybody who's not familiar with what Under the Radar is, what it is?
Okay, in a one-sentence answer, it is the one-bid leagues, or the conferences that normally only get one bid. There's no rule that says they can only have one, but these are the 22 leagues that typically only get one. We'll be covering 21 tonight because the Ivy League isn't playing. And there's two disqualifiers. One is the five power conference, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, and the SEC. And then there's five additional multi-bid leagues, the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the American, the West Coast, and the Mountain West. Holy crap, I got them all right. So if you're in one of those 10 leagues that sends multiple teams to the tournament on a regular basis, you're not under the radar. The other thing that disqualifies you, and we haven't had this for a while, but we have it tonight, is a top 25 ranking, which Drake has. Yeah. So if you want to hear about Drake, we actually talked about him on Monday.
Yeah, all those other conferences we do talk about, we do them on the Monday Night Hoops HD report. Drake, we discussed Monday night as well. So while we're going to discuss the Missouri Valley tonight, we're not going to talk much about Drake. We had much more of a discussion about them back on Monday night. Not because we don't like them, but because they're in the top 25, so they're not under the radar.
Right.
What I like to do is we start the show, though, with a feature conference. Then we go through the rest of them alphabetically. And for this week, I was trying to figure out what to do for our feature conference. And, David, I decided that we're going to take a little bit of a time travel into the future for our feature conference. This is something we've never done before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What we're going to do for our future conference is I'm going to show you something here that we're going to be seeing in 2 years from now. Because I think
two or one. I think well,
the full thing 2 years from now.
Okay.
Most of it a year from now, in fullness, as it's going to be on the screen right here, 2 years from now. So we're going to start out with the 2022-2023 Western Athletic Conference.
I thought you were going a son. Okay.
No, this is the Western Athletic Conference. What it's going to look like if those teams were all in the same conference right now with their current records, as opposed to a few years from now. So look at the way this is. I'm very excited about what this league's going to be in 2 years, David. Look at these teams.
Yes, a couple of notable additions, SFA and Sam Houston State, two regular Southland front runners. We've seen what SFA can do in the NCAA tournament. You know, multiple times they've won a game, nearly made the Sweet 16, if you recall, lost really on a last second shot a few years back. So some good additions there. How about Abilene Christian? Yeah, making a lot of noise as well. So some good additions from the Southland.
Go two steps lower. You got Southern Utah in there too.
Southern Utah, a Centenary Award winner. Something else we've seen out of this conference. But Chicago State is gone. Southern Utah, a really good story, though. We've been talking about them all year if you've been following the show. Literally the worst program in Division I a couple years ago. Now kind of hanging around the top of the Big Sky and soon to be in this conference. And who's missing, Chad? I think you want to talk about addition by addition, but there's also been addition by subtraction here.
Yeah, Chicago State gone out of this league, which gives big. And look at this. If you look at the stats here, but by the way, we got New Mexico State. They're not going to be on the bottom of the conference when this thing gets to where it is 2 years from now. They're going to be up there as well. And the Lopes have been great this year. They're going to be up there for years, I think. Dixie State and Tarleton State, the two, and California Baptist, the recent.
Yeah, Cal Baptist has legs. I know that they're still transitioning, but once they come out of that, I think it's going to be similar to Grand Canyon.
And Cal Baptist will be eligible when we reach this year here, 2 years from now, 2022, 2023. Dixie and Tarleton will have two more years after that. But let's kind of compare that to what the WAC looks like now this year.
Oh my goodness.
But this is the feature conference I wanted to feature for our feature
oh
conference.
My god, they only have five. Is there at large bid or their auto bid still valid? They've got four teams that are out. You have to have seven.
You have to have six to get an
okay. Yeah, you got to have six. I guess are they letting them count the transition?
But if you fall below seven, I'm sorry. If you fall below six, you have 2 years to get back on track, or you lose your automatic bid. So, as long as they're up to seven next year, they're not losing their automatic bid next year or this year. So, technically, they do still have an automatic bid. The conference tournament will involve six teams, as Cal Baptist will be allowed to play in the conference tournament. Dixie and Tarleton will not. Chicago State's season is done. Yes. But David, what a week, though. Let's concentrate on the good in this conference, which, UTRGV 2-0 conference play, but good so far, but let's concentrate on the Lopes, because what a week they had, never having beaten New Mexico State before in this conference, get two games at home, and they sweep it.
Yeah, and, on one sense, it's really good for the Lopes to kind of get over the hill. In another sense, the hill was kind of bulldozed. New Mexico State, a team with a lot of talent, that the circumstances that they are facing are just have just really shredded their season. They had to leave the state just to get games. And even then, they couldn't get them. They've only played 3D1 games. This was a team that we thought would win the league and even be among the best of the under the radar and maybe even contend for a spot inside the bubble if everything fell right. Probably the best overall program in the conference, at least as far as men's basketball goes, just having a nightmare season this year. COVID has hit some harder than others. I think it's New Mexico State as hard as it's hit anyone. And right now, they are in a position to where it's going to be a sprint just to get to the minimum number of games for them to be eligible. You need 13 D1 games. They've played three.
I'll give it. It needs to be 12 D1 games, and the 13th could be your conference tournament. So
okay, yeah.
12 right. Before the conference tournament, though. There's going to be a WAC tournament, which
right. And I would hope that they would be able to get the nine games in. But, what a nightmare scenario. But I don't want to take anything away from the Lopes. They were the first transitional team to really have any sort of success while transitioning. You may recall they made a couple of postseason tournament appearances. They've been a front runner, although New Mexico State been the flagship. The Lopes haven't been that far behind. And, it's kind of good to see them on top. This is a very passionate fan base. I know that they follow us. They have ever since we made them the team of the people. So if Grand Canyon fans are watching this, we're certainly we're always thrilled to see a transition team have this kind of success. If they make the NCAA tournament, it will be exciting. It's just that you hate that the Lopes fans will not be able to get there, presumably because of COVID restrictions. Because if they were there, if you have not seen the Lopes play, which if you're watching this show, you have, this is a passionate fan base that could keep up with about anybody when it comes to fandom. Would you agree with that, Chad?
Absolutely. They are great fans. I mean, watching their home games in a non-COVID year is so much fun. The place is packed and wild and so loud. And I just, Matt, even though they had some fans there at the game, at the New Mexico State games, if they'd had the full fan base there, that place would have been going nuts with that, both the first win and then both wins actually over New Mexico State. Yeah. Obviously, if we didn't have COVID, they would have only played New Mexico State at home once this season. They were
right, yeah.
Home and home. But interesting, battle of two undefeated teams, though, as they're going to Rio Grande Valley this week, assuming those games are still on. Rio Grande only 2-0, only got two games in, but this is the chance that Lopes go there and sweep those games. This conference battle might be almost over. Utah Valley off to a pretty good start though as well so far.
Right. And I've always been a fan of this conference. It's sort of like it used to be a multi-bid league. There was a day when the WAC was not under the radar at all.
The old days of the 16 team WAC. Yep.
Yeah. And before the Mountain West kind of split off and formed its own. So this conference does have a pretty rich history, and I like to see that the basketball is getting stronger. In a lot of these transitional teams, not Chicago State, but Cal Baptist, Dixie State, and Tarleton State, I think are going to be good additions to this league too.
I really think they will be. I think you look at teams that, you know, in the next 3 to 4 years, 5 years, these they'll all be battling for the top of this conference, which is going to be, I would not be shocked if we are talking about multiple bids at this conference in the future, just because of the quality of Stephen F. Austin, Sam Houston State, Abilene Christian, even the way Southern Utah has been playing in recent years. Lamar has a history. They could be a contender as well in the future.
And one of the things it does, at least for the Southland teams coming in, specifically SFA, is it eliminates sort of the net poison and previous RPI poison that exists at the bottom of that league. I mean, there is some dredge in the Southland.
There is some dredge. You know, you eliminate Chicago State, who will be around for next year. The four Southland teams will actually be in here next year. Chicago State will still be here for one more year. Southern Utah will not be here next year. The year after that will be the final change with Southern Utah in, Chicago State out. Chicago State does not have a home that we've heard of yet. Hopefully they do find one. That is closer to the city of Chicago.
a lot closer.
In the city.
We make fun of Chicago State, but we really are pulling for that program to get it together. I don't understand how they're so bad. It's not like that they're in a basketball rich part of the country. They have a substantial centrally located alumni base, and you would think that they would be able to recruit with a bicycle. I mean, you know, being located in Chicago.
I'll tell you what, the other team that's having trouble getting games in has been Seattle. They're supposed to be at Dixie State this week. You know, they've only played one game also, so we really don't know much about them in terms of WAC play, at least. But hopefully we can start getting games over the next few weeks in this conference, because we have teams that really desperately need them, especially that New Mexico State team, who really can't afford another game to be canceled, or they may not get to their 12 before the conference tournament. Let's jump to the rest of the conferences, though, and we'll start all the way back at A with the America East Conference, where Vermont did not play this past week, but what we did see was UMBC split a pair of games Sunday and tonight. Tuesday against NJIT.
Yeah.
So you start to scratch your head about them, and you start to say, "Hey, listen, at some point Vermont's going to start playing, and if they have what we think they have, they may still end up being able to run away with this conference."
Right. And that's a good point. Like UMBC, it was kind of a surprise. Nothing against NJIT, but as good as UMBC was looking, they had no business losing to the eighth place team in this league. I know that there's more parity this year than what we thought, but no one really running away from it. Typically, because of Vermont, we're used to seeing this conference in the 12-13 range. I'm not seeing that at all this year. I think it's destined for maybe the 15 line or lower.
I think the 15 line is its cap, and you may need a surprise at another conference. You know, a big surprise for another conference. You know, somebody from the bottom of the Horizon League wins the conference tournament, gets a 16 seed, that pushes the America East up to the 15 line.
Yeah, and Vermont has a lot of good pieces. They haven't played, but like they've also had some head-scratching losses. I attribute that to rust. They didn't get any out-of-conference games. They've been on a bit of a roll lately, but haven't really been playing against the top of the conference.
They haven't been playing against anybody, and they're still not been playing against anybody as they're continuing to on their pause here. But the games to circle that are on the schedule for this week, it looks like it's just the UMBC Stony Brook games are the it should be a good pair of games.
If Stony Brook gets both of those, guess who jumps over UMBC?
Quick note, as we said, when you look at the upcoming schedule on the screens of what we're discussing, those games are probably not all gonna most I guarantee you those games will not all happen. And I guarantee you there will also be games that are not being discussed here or not on the screen that will happen because of the way things are just being rescheduled. And I like to see the fact that conferences, when you have one team shut down, their opponents, they're finding another opponent for whoever they're supposed to play that week. So at least we'll see some of that. But over in the ASUN,
this is the league I thought you were going to.
No, this is not where I was going to. We could do a future look at the ASUN at some point, but I mean, we've got three teams coming into the ASUN with Jacksonville State, Eastern Kentucky, and Central Arkansas on their way into this conference, which is going to be starting to add football, I believe, in 2 years. I think the move is it the move next year or 2 years from now for those
teams? Next year.
Okay.
Happens in July.
Okay, so we will see a 12-team conference at that point, but when you look at these standings, I mean, we've been talking about Liberty. We like Liberty. They picked up they had to sweat them out. They picked up a road sweep at Jacksonville, who is not that good, not awful Jacksonville, mediocre Jacksonville team, but I'm not loving Liberty. And when you look at it, you got to remember, they are actually in a three-way tie for first place with the two transitional teams in North Alabama and Bellarmine, who both will be invited to the ASUN tournament.
Right. So who's going to get the auto bid? It's presumably Liberty. Lipscomb keeping pace a little bit, but Liberty just has too many pieces. In the games that they've lost, they've sort of beaten themselves. It wasn't that they were overwhelmed by better competition. And this Liberty team, while they don't always play up to it, has a bit of a high ceiling. We saw that in the out-of-conference games. We saw that in their exempt tournament. So even though they've kind of bumbled their way through a couple of losses, they're still the front runners, and I still think that if they get the right matchup, they could make somebody sweat in the round of 64. But the story of the league, Chad, is North Alabama and Bellarmine, not just transitional teams, first-year transitional teams, both winning.
Bellarmine's.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. North Alabama in their second year, Bellarmine in their first, but both 6-2 in a D1 conference. That's pretty remarkable. If you look at Northern Kentucky, who we're going to talk about later, when they came up, they were in the ASUN. They were never 6-2. So, I mean, as good as they have become, they really, really struggled right out of the gate.
Yep, and there you see this week, Bellarmine's hosting Jacksonville for a pair. North Alabama's at Gulf Coast. Interesting series here, North Florida at Liberty, just because you look at the standings. If we ignore the transitional, we ignore the fact that we think Liberty really is better than anybody here, you've got five teams within a game of each other for first place battle. It really is a close battle here.
Yeah, it's like the ASUN has broken out, the Big South has broken out in the ASUN.
I think the ASUN broke out of the Big South. We'll get to the Big South in a few moments here. One quick conference before we get to the Big South. We're going to run through the Big Sky. Before that, we already talked a little bit about Southern Utah when we were discussing the future WAC. But as far as the current Big Sky, Montana State did not get any games in this week, so they are still sitting there at 6-0 on top of the conference. Now two games up in the loss column over everybody, though. So, it is interesting looking here.
Yeah, it is. And their schedule wasn't exactly front loaded as we discussed last week. And we didn't really get to see them this past week because they didn't play. I think that they're the team in the conference, but Southern Utah is the story of the conference, but the talent of the conference, there they are after kind of letting us down a little bit. I think Eastern Illinois is starting, or
Eastern Washington.
I am just off tonight. I've been drinking a lot of bourbon, everyone. Sorry. But Eastern Washington really starting to flex their muscles and be the team that I thought that we all thought they'd be in the preseason. And this is a good Eastern Washington team that had not played well for most of the season, but that's starting to play well now.
Yeah, they look pretty good in their sweep of Sacramento State. Tomorrow night, circle the Big Sky, though. Montana State back on the court, not only on the court, but at Weber State, who if you look at the net, Weber State has the best net rating in the entire Big Sky. So this is probably Thursday and Saturday, assuming these games are a go, Montana State at Weber State. These may be the... This may be where we find out just how good Montana State really, really is here.
Yes. And we mentioned Eastern Washington. If they do not win tomorrow, they are ineligible.
Yeah. Idaho is very, very bad this year.
We might have a team that's worse when we get to the MEAC.
Well, you know, Eastern Washington, Idaho, how many miles apart are they? 8 miles? Nine?
I don't know, to be honest. I know Wazoo.
I don't think they've ever been in the NCAA tournament, have they?
I don't think they have either, yeah. How far apart are those two?
that's not a question I have the answer to, unfortunately. Yeah. So let's move over to the Big South instead.
Where's Stalika? He knows.
Where Winthrop... David, they finally lost a game. It was the home game to Asheville Friday night. It was a heck of a game, but Winthrop fell out of the ranks of the undefeated on Friday night.
Right, and congratulations to Asheville. It followed a game where they played them really close in the first game and then got them in the second game. Winthrop still having a really good season. Pat Kelsey, a really good coach, really good bench coach. If you haven't seen much Big Sky basketball, and when I say that I think that they're kind of overachieving, I actually mean it as a compliment, not a backhand, not sort of a put down, but this is not a top 25 caliber team, but they managed to win their first 16 games. And, they had to gut a lot of them out. I don't think they're on the same caliber as Loyola Chicago, and certainly not Drake and some of the other Toledo, some of the other really strong under the radar teams. But they're having a good year. But how about this team that's right behind them that, while they're just a game back in the conference standings, has been completely overshadowed because Winthrop had been undefeated? What about Radford?
Yeah, Radford
Right
back
in
on,
there.
didn't get to play last week. They're back on the court this week, apparently, allegedly Thursday and Friday hosting Upstate, which should be a pair of wins.
Yeah, it really
But
should.
really, Winthrop is not on the schedule here for this week. I don't know. I assume they got shut down at some point here. We'll see if they
Yeah.
can get some games in. I know there's been a lot of juggling in the Big South schedule. So the Big South is one of those conferences that really is trying to get games in by juggling games around constantly. But yeah,
Yeah.
this Radford team I like a lot. Go ahead, David.
One of the big surprises, Charleston Southern has just crashed this year. I mean, we were kind of expecting big things out of them. I don't know if they've had injuries or suspensions, but they had a star player that is just not a, and God, they're terrible.
Let's keep going on here and keep running along here. And I want to move over to the Big West, where I want to talk about the second place team even more so than the first place
The
team
Gauchos, yeah.
because the Gauchos are looking so good. They're on, I think, an 8-game winning streak at this point. They
Yeah,
went
pull
to
them up.
UC Davis and swept. I mean, it was a close game the second game, but let's go ahead and pull up their
Yeah.
profile
And yeah,
here.
and put them next to the Eaters, so we can kind of look at both of them here.
Sure. They should be loading up here in a second, but this
Yeah.
Gauchos team, but for the fact that they went to UC Irvine back at the end of December and got swept in those two games, that's it. That's all they've lost. 8 in a row since then, and
Yeah.
looking better than the Eaters, who went out and almost lost both games in Hawaii, did lose the second one, but could have lost them both when this past weekend out on the island.
Right. I still like the Eaters a little more.
I don't.
Because of the two wins. And the one thing, as good as Santa Barbara's looking, like Santa Barbara was a team that I was expecting a lot out of and was kind of disappointed, but they're certainly making up for it now. I think they have more pieces than the Eaters and have certainly kind of kicked it in the gear since losing both games to
Well,
UC Irvine.
I'll say this, David. I think if these two teams played again at Irvine, just like they did this
Yeah.
weekend,
I think
it would
Santa
be at
Barbara
least a
would get it.
sweep, and I think Santa Barbara it would be at least a split. I think Santa Barbara might sweep the series.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one thing, the reason I'm only up to my waist and not all in on Santa Barbara is if you look at this, a lot of their wins have been coming against really bad teams.
Well, come on! Look what look at Irvine's wins.
Yeah.
Irvine's wins are worse, other than the fact that they beat the Gauchos twice,
Yeah, other than that they beat
and
the
their
Gauchos.
losses are worse. That the
Yeah,
Hawaii losses.
that is true. Yeah. So, and yeah, the Pepperdine game. Yeah, UC Irvine took forever to get going too. Like they're out of conference, they were just pathetic. They really kicked it in the gear once they got in the conference play. UC Riverside, I don't think they have. I think they're going to run out of gas and they're not going to be able to keep pace with the top two. But what a story they have been. I just want to give out a shout out to them as well. They talked about cutting athletics entirely. Here they are having a big year and still technically just a game out of first.
Well, according to the schedule here on the screen, at least Santa Barbara's supposed to be hosting Long Beach. Irvine's supposed to be hosting Bakersfield. We'll see if we can get those games in. Hope we can.
Yeah.
They've probably already been canceled. If Rocco was here, he would tell us that they were already canceled.
Yeah. Right. And if you don't know, schools call Rocco to find out whether or not their game is canceled. And that's how good he is.
The Colonial. Our first place team, Northeastern, did not get any games in. James Madison, however, did get in a pair of games against Drexel. And then earlier today, this afternoon, they crushed Elon,
Yeah.
who had been coming out of a pause themselves. David, I think we got to start talking about James Madison a little bit because they are tied in the loss column with Northeastern.
We do, and they kind of snuck up on us. Hofstra was the team, at least that I liked right out of the gate, and I always like
They
college.
got a nice sweep at Wilmington this week. I'll give them
Yeah,
credit
they
for that.
did. So Hofstra's still in there, but Hofstra kind of like tripped over themselves a couple times. College of Charleston kind of did the same, and they just seem to be having a down year. James Madison hadn't been a team that I was watching all that closely, but you got to start watching them now, and especially lately, pull them up. I think it's, what is it, four straight, five straight that they've won?
I believe so. Here,
Yeah.
we're gonna pull up their. I'll pull up their team sheet here if you like. Just give me half a
Yeah.
second. I'll be loading here in about 3 seconds as we get these other games off the screen.
Yeah, I mean the big win at Northeastern, that was the one that kind of jumped out on me. That was, you know,
four in a row they've won, though, by the way.
Yeah, and then you know, they've rattled off four wins, including a road win at Northeastern. So yeah, I concur.
We wrote them off early in the season, in November and then January, when they lost a pair of home games to MEAC teams in Norfolk State and Morgan State. But
yeah,
they've been really playing excellent basketball since then. The only loss
they really have been
being the one loss at Northeastern, and they came back and won the second game of that set.
Right, and it's hard to win at Northeastern. It is. So, you know, good for them. But yeah, I mean, right now, I think it's a two-horse race, with Hofstra being really talented and in a conference tournament situation, maybe being able to win it.
William & Mary's has been playing well recently as well. Interesting series this weekend with James Madison going to William & Mary. So
yeah,
definitely circle that series.
Okay.
Could be a good one. Circle the Delaware Northeastern games too, assuming they're a go.
Yeah, assuming they're a go. And I have a quick rhetorical question before we move on, Chad.
Okay.
Or we've moved on. Why the hell does Drexel let me down every single year?
We are moving on to Conference USA, this two-division format here. Western Kentucky had their series canceled. We heard they were trying to get a non-conference game in over the weekend. It did not happen. They are still sitting there. They have not played since last week. UAB got a pair of wins against Middle Tennessee. It's a very bad Middle Tennessee team. And they beat them by 11 points, I think, in both games. So it wasn't dominating, but it wasn't.
Right.
You know, it was a
it wasn't a sweat either. Where have you gone, Kermit Davis? Oh, Middle Tennessee has just fallen off a cliff. UAB has, I mean, that is one bloated record there, 14-2, Chad. But I was looking at them because I was having a trouble coming up with my 10th place team in voting today. And one of the things I noticed is, while that is an impressive record, in that alone,
look at that tier four. It's like it's weighing them down.
So Charlotte and East Tennessee State are the only two teams they've beaten with winning records against D1 teams.
Put it there here. We see a team that's 14-2 and a lot of tier four wins. You figure that the losses at least were, you know, non-conference games, bye games against top teams. No, their two losses were bad losses. Charlotte and Chattanooga at home. Chattanooga's a decent team, but at home, you got to win that game.
Yeah, you do. And essentially what they've proven is that they can win bye games. And I like Andy Kennedy. I think he's a good coach. I think UAB is probably a little bit better than what their resume indicates. Like, had they gotten some stronger competition, they might be able to beat it. But that in and of itself is just beating up on bad teams. You look at Western Kentucky, extremely schizophrenic, but God, do they have a gem on their resume. And I just can't get past that. I had them inside my bubble. I don't think the real committee would, but they've won at Alabama. Their two losses, they beat them. Well, really, like, three of their four losses were games that they arguably could have and should have won, but it's Western Kentucky, and they'll play down to their competition a lot of the time.
They're at Florida Atlantic this week, which means that they probably struggle in the game. It's 4-7 against D1. UAB hosting a UTEP team that, assuming they sweep the series, UTEP will be a losing record team, another losing record team that doesn't play. So
a team to keep an eye on that's gotten a little bit hot, albeit against maybe the pastry court, North Texas, kind of sneaking up on people.
I'm not there yet on them. They've got Louisiana Tech this week, assuming the games are a go. Let's see if they can get through those games. Let's get some games between them and UAB. That's what I'd really like to see, but
yeah.
Who knows if that'll ever happen even. Let's jump over to the Horizon League, where Cleveland State still on top. Did get the sweep over Green Bay, although they had to sweat those games a little bit. But Wright State is close on their heels. Now, Wright State had Robert Morris, who they crushed. And Robert Morris is not a very good team this year, dead last the conference. But this is going to be an interesting battle the rest of the way, I think.
Wright State has had some clunkers. I mean, they've really – in really all three of their losses were games that they could have won. If you pull them up there, Chad, this is a team, I think Wright State clearly has the highest ceiling and has the most potential out of everyone, even though that they're a game behind. But their losses, like you notice a 2-point loss to Cleveland State, and you know that notice the next night they just blew their doors off. You notice like the loss to Youngstown State, also a 2-point loss, and they blew them out. the next game. Marshall did get him. That was one that they were never in.
Oakland was a little backwards. They blew Oakland's doors out the next day. They came out and lost to them. So yeah. It was a little backwards.
So everybody that they lose to, it's just like they got out there, and to borrow a phrase from Stalica, they just played with their food, which they have been prone to do. And, you know, I'm sure Scott Nagy, head coach, reamed them, and then they went out there and blew them out like they should. But when Wright State does not play with their food, they are damn good.
Yeah, if they do get things together and keep them together the rest of the season, I do like them better than Cleveland State. Even if Cleveland State ends up being the one seed in this conference tournament,
right?
I'll tell you right now, I would pick Wright State to win it.
They
see this week, Cleveland State is going to be at Oakland allegedly, Wright State at UIC allegedly. The rest of the conference, though, I think it's the two of them and nobody else. I really haven't seen enough life out of. I mean, you see a little life here and there of some of these teams, UIC, Milwaukee, at different times, but not enough to think that there's any chance that for any consistent big winning streaks to get into the top of the rank, the standings here. David, why don't you take the next conference here for a moment?
Okay, here we go. You know, not much action this week, but a lot of parity.
A lot of parity here.
Yeah.
Look at that Yale 87 Sagarin rating. Congrats to them, top 100 team.
How the hell are they 87 in the? Is Sagarin drunk? Is Jeff Sagarin?
Metro Atlantic Conference, though, in all seriousness here.
In all seriousness, what the hell is wrong with Jeff Sagarin?
Well, in all seriousness, what the hell also is wrong with Siena, who was after that great 8-0?
Better question, perhaps.
Great 8-0 start, lost the game last week. Then lose by one to Marist and finally bounce back by winning the second game against Marist. But I mean, Marist is a very mediocre team this year, normally a doormat. But you know,
yeah, they are. The Siena Marist, it is a rivalry, but like I don't want to just attribute it to that. Siena was clearly the superior team and should have beaten them twice. Instead, they lose twice.
No, they split.
They split. I'm sorry.
They split with Marist.
When
you look, if you want to look at fewest losses, it's Siena has a better winning percentage. That's why they're in first place in the standings. But Iona only has one loss, but they've been so shut down.
Yeah.
Again and again. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, you just kind of hate that for them.
And I don't really think this Iona team.
Not for their coach, but for them.
I don't really think that this Iona team is a contender. They were supposed to have played Manhattan tonight. That game got canceled because of their latest shutdown. I don't know if their Marist series this weekend is a go or not for Iona. So we're probably going to be looking at Siena, who is not even on the schedule for this weekend. So at this point, I have no idea who's going to play who. I see Ryder playing two different opponents on Saturday on the screen here, even. So that's how screwed up this conference is right now. But there will be games. There may not be a lot of them. Hopefully we can get everybody up to 12 games in. Canisius is sitting on only 6 games and Iona only 8. We hope we can get these teams on the court that win this conference. And get them to Atlantic City for a conference tournament that maybe at least 3 or 4 of them can play in. Mid-American Conference. Let's talk about something that we do really like. How about Toledo with what they did at Bowling Green and then crushing Akron last night? It was a close game for a while, but blew it out late.
Well, one of the things I like to see is that the voters are paying attention, and I hope the selection committee is as well. I think they are because someone from the MAC is on the selection committee. They are just rocking and rolling. And Chad, this is a damn good team. Like, if you pull them up real quick, this is a team that probably is a legit top 40 team, 9-10 seed range, meaning regardless of what their profile says, that's how good they are. You know, the win at Marshall, an excellent home record. I want to say that's their only home loss, but I don't know if that's right. Kent State, also a strong home team, swept them, got the win against Akron. And these are not like, you know, chump teams that they've been beating. And I just really like this Toledo team. I'm all in on them. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they won out all the way through the conference tournament. Well, I mean, they are good.
Yeah, and this Toledo team, now I will say, in terms of their resume, I've mentioned this before, the Marshall and Kent State wins on the road are both technically tier one wins. They are barely tier one wins.
They are.
Either one of those teams suffers another loss or two, those will become tier two wins. And I really, when I look at this, I see a team with three tier two wins. I don't really see a team with
well,
two tier
and
one
that's
wins.
Kind of how you have to look at it. That's how the committee, I mean, it's not that I know for the JNG, there's a massive difference between 72 and 77. I don't think there is with the committee. They're intelligent people, presumably.
I did put Kent State's profile up there on the right as well. I do like this Kent State team. They've won three in a row. They did sweep this week. They got swept by Toledo. They're done with Toledo. They won't play them again unless they meet in the conference tournament. But yeah, they've beaten, other than a loss at Akron, they've beaten everybody else they've played in this conference. And
yeah,
they were competitive against Virginia back in December. So this Kent State team is not a bad team at all. And
they're not.
This is the most dangerous team, I think, for Toledo winning an auto bid here.
Yeah, but Kent State 7-1 at home. Their only loss, Toledo. What's Marshall's home record? Since let's just look at that real quick.
Okay, I'll pull it up
since
here.
We have it at our fingertips.
Yep.
Because I said something that may not have been true about
Marshall's 5-2 at home. They also lost to Western Kentucky at home.
Okay. All right. So still, like, when you look, those two teams have a combined three losses at home, and two of them are to Toledo. That's pretty good.
It is. And I know, I mean, technically Kent State, I guess, half a game behind Akron, who's also a team that I like a lot in this conference, but I think Kent State's going to end up being your second place team in this conference. They can't, I don't think they can catch Toledo, and they wouldn't win the tiebreakers anyhow. If they
right.
Do.
Yeah.
But Akron at Kent State Friday night, David,
the wagon wheel.
One of our
we love it.
Rivalries.
One of the great rivalries, or one of the great under the radar rivalries. It's not going to be the same without the fans. This is, if you've never seen this game before, this is an intense, crazy game.
When the fans are there. Toledo's got a trip to Ball State, a trip to Northern Illinois, at least according to the schedule. Again, don't know. A lot of these games may be going off. Other games may come in. We've said it a million times.
Yeah.
Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Congratulations to to North Carolina Central. Finally got on the court, got a pair of wins, although they had to sweat out a very bad South Carolina State game team on Tuesday. Poor Howard still can't get on the court.
Yeah, there's something that happened tonight that we absolutely have to discuss. And well, let's just go straight to that before we talk about Morgan State or Norfolk State.
Okay, I want to talk about Howard a little bit. Go ahead, talk about Morgan State.
Delaware State played who tonight? It was
Lancaster Bible College.
Okay, got their first win of the season. So congratulations. It was a one-point win. That is a centenary-level performance, even though it was a win.
I'll tell you, if you're talking about the Centenary Award, which is our award for the worst team in D1, you look at Delaware State, that's horrible to only beat Lancaster Bible by 1 point. You look at South Carolina State, also winless in this conference of candidate. They almost beat NC Central on the road. It was a one-point loss. They looked a lot better this week than Delaware State did on the court.
They did, yeah.
In terms of the top,
and they don't play each other this year, which is horrible. You know?
They won't play unless they – Delaware State's not even eligible for the conference tournament, so they will not play this year.
Yeah. If they were, that would be a conference – that would be the 8-9 game, and we would all be glued to it.
I got to bring up this Howard team. It is not – I mean, you've got to get to those 12 wins before the conference tournament, like we mentioned. I don't know if they're going to get there. They've got to be on the court this week if they want to get 8 more games in the conference tournament.
And it's just been a tragic story, probably even more so than New Mexico State, who we opened with. I mean, they signed after being near the centenary last year. They got a really star player, and it wasn't just a top 100 player. It was an NBA lottery pick caliber player, and maker. He gets hurt, so they can't have him. And even if he were playing, we're in the middle of COVID, so they wouldn't be selling out their arena or close to it as they would be if it were normal times. They had a showcase game booked against Notre Dame on Martin Luther King Day that was going to air on Fox, not Fox Sports 1, but the flagship network canceled because of COVID. I mean, Howard is just a walking disaster of near misses. And I don't think Maker's back. We'll never see him play in college, which is really unfortunate, but maybe he'll come back. Maybe Howard will get their chance.
Yeah. Because I'd love to see how good. Now, I will throw out here though, David, the NCAA has already said that if you don't get to the 13 games by the end of your conference tournament, that you can apply for a waiver. So we may see these teams that are not at 12 team games before the conference tournament that are healthy, maybe going to the NCAA with a waiver request. So just because you don't get 12 games in before the conference tournament, you're not totally out of the woods, but you're gonna have to get the NCAA to give you a waiver. And how would I'd give one to? I just feel so bad for these.
I do too. I'd give one to allegedly on the. What I would say is, your only way in is the auto bid, which is what it would have been anyway.
Okay. Howard allegedly is on the court against Morgan State this week, but those games, I don't know if they're a go or not. Coppin State, Norfolk State is serious to look at as well in the North Division there. North Carolina A&T was now 4-0 playing South Carolina State, so they should be 6-0 assuming those games get in. You only play your division in this conference, so North Carolina A&T, when they play NC Central, that'll probably determine the South Division crown.
Yeah, it would. And a nice rivalry game there. So
we are not going to talk much about Drake in the Missouri Valley Conference. We talked about them the other night. We are going to talk a little, but let's talk a little bit about probably the only other team now that Missouri State has lost four in a row and had gone from 9-1 to 9-5 and is off my radar completely, quite honestly. No offense. I know that they played the two best teams, but they couldn't even get one win in those four games. But this Loyola team, and here's the big question we're going to be asking tonight. We're going to be talking about Loyola a lot. We may be talking a little about Loyola more on the Hoops HD report because they are on the verge of a top 25 breakthrough as well.
Yeah, they are. I mean,
and how good is this team? Is this an NCAA tournament at large team right now, assuming Drake wins the auto bid?
In my opinion, yes, absolutely. I like Toledo. I like them. I know that the committee looks at profiles, and when you look at their profile, is it there? I could make a case that it is when you look at like their road wins, especially Missouri State. If they get one of the two at Drake, I think that puts it over the top. If they win out but lose, with the exception, and lose both at Drake, I would argue that they belong in, but I don't know if the committee will take them.
Well, David, I'm going to bring us up off of the actual resume of the games and into some of these metrics here as to why I would take them. Number one, look at that net of 14. Now, normally I don't look at a team's own net. I look at it to gauge your opponents, but that high of a net, why is the net that high? Well, one of the key factors of the net is efficiency. Look at this KenPom column here. They are the number 40th best offensive, the number 5 best defensive team in the nation.
Yeah,
metrics being so high as well, the BPI and the KenPom rating.
And we need to clarify, the KenPom ratings are adjusted efficiencies. And what that is that it doesn't just take into account your overall efficiencies, points per possession. It accounts for how good or bad the teams you're playing against. It would be like a batting average in baseball being adjusted depending on how good or bad the pitchers were. They're fifth in adjusted efficiency. Their defense is.
Let's look at the same numbers. A team like Missouri State, who just fell off our board, they're nowhere close. 119, 155. But when you look at a 40-5, that 40-5 blows away Drake's 44-64. And 44-64 is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's winning you. Well, that's won them every game that they've played. So, yes, I think Loyola Chicago belongs in. The overall arching criteria is the 34 best, or I guess this year 37 best. Yeah, they are certainly in line for that. They might beat Drake. I kind of think they're better than Drake.
Well, they still have two games at Drake coming up here at 2 weeks, not this week. This week, Loyola is going to be hosting Evansville. Rest of the schedule for the conference, including two games, are up there on the screen as well.
A quick shout out to Evansville. They're not going to beat Loyola, but a really good job Todd Licklider is doing. You may recall what a train wreck it was last year in Walter McCartney and not winning a single conference game. Licklider getting him turned around. He's a good coach.
Absolutely. I think that program is going in the right. Well, look at the third place. They're definitely going in the right direction. Northeast Conference, one of our favorite leagues.
Yes.
Where we saw the first of the two games in the Battle of Brooklyn series. It was the official Battle of Brooklyn game, even on Saturday, where Long Island went and actually pounded SFBK. And it's enough, combined with Bryant's loss to Fairleigh Dickinson after a sweep by Fairleigh Dickinson, to put the Sharks up in first place, David.
They are jumping over Bryant and looking more impressive than Bryant. Bryant just having kind of a disappointing stretch here. I still like them. They would still be my picks to win the league. But how about the former Blackbirds, current Sharks, up in first place?
And what you also look at here, if you look at the loss column, it's actually SFBK and LIU who are tied for the conference lead in the loss column. Only four teams make this conference tournament. If we can get both these teams in there, I would love to see the chance of at least a semifinal, if not a championship game in the Northeast Conference between these two rivals. It's one of my favorite rivalries in all of D1.
it's a great rivalry. It is a fun league. It is it's just the style of basketball that's played here. If you don't have the NEC app, download it now. Do it now. Stop. Well, finish watching the show, then do it.
They will play. Their second game was pushed back. I think it was actually because of the snow, not because of COVID.
Right.
But it is going to be now a week. It's going to be coming on Monday. This coming Monday night will be the SFBK LIU round two at LIU. So
yeah,
that game could determine who's in first place. So the Bryant hosting a Mount St. Mary's with an interesting series as well. Two teams with only four losses.
Yeah.
And a huge contrast in styles when you see this Bryant Mount St. Mary's series.
Yeah, yeah.
The number three tempo, the third fastest team in the nation, versus Mount St. Mary's, who's 355. There's only 347 teams playing this year.
Teams that are
Mount
playing,
St. Mary's is slower than teams that are not even playing. You know, so you could literally be sitting on the sideline, not playing basketball, yeah. and Mount St. Mary's faster. Is going slower than you are.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
That was well put.
So it's going to be, you know, it'll be an interesting, just I love seeing that contrast of styles though.
Yeah.
What I don't like seeing is two slow teams play each other. Like when Wagner and Mount St. Mary's play, forget.
Yeah.
That.
Wagner used to play really up and down. They've slowed it down. New coaching.
Well, back when Danny Hurley was the coach. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go over to the Ohio Valley Conference and this Belmont team that continues to win. They had a couple of tests, especially their game at Murray State on Saturday, though, Dave. What a game that was, really.
Yeah, Murray, who's been disappointing for most of the year, a regular front runner, a team we thought would be a front runner again, having a good game against them, but Belmont holding them off and getting it done, they really had to sweat that one out. But a couple other teams probably to talk about here. First is Eastern Kentucky, who's just a game behind them. And I think that they've kind of been overshadowed because of how dominant Belmont's been and how they're 18-1, the one loss a little bit inexplicable. Eastern Kentucky 14-2, one of their losses to Morehead State, who's also a little bit hot right now and who they also split with, and the other to Xavier in overtime. So this is a team that's pretty close to being undefeated themselves.
They got a test at Jacksonville State over the
two nights
ago, but they found a way to win it, which I go.
Yeah.
And then I think, Dave, we also have to look at this Morehead State team. What they've been doing, they are not getting tested. They went to Tennessee Tech 74-55. They are at Jacksonville State, who we just said Eastern Kentucky struggled there. Morehead State won 85-66 last week at Jacksonville State. This Morehead State team is not just beating these OVC teams. They are blowing them out of the water. It's very impressive.
It is. And this is probably the surprise team of the conference. For the last 3 or 4 years, they've been rather pathetic. I think they missed the conference tournament just a couple years ago, barely got in last year, weren't expected to do much this year. And then like they just around New Year's sort of walked out of the Ohio River, I think. And just like, where did this come from?
Well, I'd love to see us get some of these Belmont EKU and Belmont Morehead games. We don't have that this week. Belmont is at the Eastern Illinois SIU Edwardsville trip, while EKU is going to be hosting Austin Peay and Murray. EKU and Morehead State are travel partners, so they'll both be hosting Austin Peay and Murray State. That Murray State Morehead State game, that's an old rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They've had some big battles, and it's kind of heating up again, from what I understand. So, especially with EKU leaving the conference and Morehead State getting better, so that one should be fun tomorrow.
Yeah. So if you want to circle a game this week, I probably would circle that game tomorrow night, Murray State at Morehead State. That should be a real interesting game in the OVC this week. Jumping on over to the Patriot League, the three division thing here where teams can't get games in. But David, it's time to start talking about the number 15 team in the net, the Colgate Raiders. We have been almost overlooking them because of Navy, who we absolutely love what they've been doing also.
I still like Navy more. We have to talk about Colgate, but yeah.
But this Colgate team, they've only played conference games, but they're 7-1, and they looked really good at Holy Cross this week.
They did look good, and they're in there with Army, who normally isn't good, but is this year. And yeah, they have kind of dominated it. So certainly earning the spot. I mean, again, the 15 ranking is it's an anomaly due to no out of conference games and just like a scattershot math right now due to not enough data points. But Colgate's pretty good, and I didn't see it coming. I mean, I liked Bucknell coming into the year. They've been kind of disappointing. But yeah, is Colgate and Navy are the two teams that I'm really excited about. More so Navy, to be honest, Chad.
Colgate is supposed to allegedly be playing BU this week. I don't know if those games are a go. Navy is supposed to allegedly be at American this week. I don't know if those games are a go.
Yeah.
Loyola, I believe I heard, was shut down again. Here's another team, only 5 games. American, only 4 games. Can we get these teams up to 12 games?
Yeah.
It has started to worry me on some of these teams.
Yeah, the Patriot League opting to not play any out-of-conference games minus the service academies.
Right, and it might come back to haunt them, and that, would it not have helped to at least thrown in a couple of bye games here, even against local teams? You play a UConn, you play a Rhode Island, you play a BC, you play somebody,
Yeah, and those teams needed games too. Siena needed games. It still does.
Well,
So,
Siena was shut down that whole
well,
time,
yeah.
though, so.
Right.
The SoCon, which saw a bunch of really fun games tonight before we started
Yeah,
the show,
good, yeah.
including Wofford doing it again, losing to VMI tonight in overtime, 84-80.
Yeah.
Wofford heading in the wrong direction, but I want to really talk about Furman's still kind of hanging out there. Did not play tonight. They did beat Western Carolina over the weekend, but these two teams that are tied at the top there, and UNC Greensboro and East Tennessee State, two teams that we had written off about a month and a half ago, and now here
Yeah.
they are at the top of the conference, David.
Right. So UNC Greensboro was, I was big on them in the preseason. I thought that them and Furman would push for a spot inside the bubble. Greensboro really poor right out of the gate. East Tennessee State was poor, but like when you lose literally everybody, including your coach, you're just not expecting much. And they didn't show
They
it.
got crushed by transfers after the coach
Yeah,
left. Yeah.
got crushed by transfers, and we're getting crushed by their opponents back before Christmas. But then they get in the conference play. They're one of the most improved teams in all of college basketball. When you look at how poor they were at the beginning of the year, and you might recall they played the first game of the season,
Abilene
and
Christian, yep.
to Abilene Christian and got blown out of the place. And 7-2 in conference and looking really good, beating the teams that we thought would be the conference front runners.
Yeah, well, this week they beat Mercer, who had got off to a good start, and they've really been floundering lately
Yeah.
tonight. But it was a road win. It was a nice road
Yeah,
win at
nice road
Mercer.
win. Yeah.
Chattanooga still kind of hanging in the middle of the conference there too, and it picked up a road win at Western Carolina tonight. But I think we got to look at this upcoming schedule here. Assuming these games are a go, we could be seeing Chattanooga, East Tennessee State, Wofford, Furman, Greensboro, Furman. So that we could be seeing Greensboro, Furman twice the next week, which is definitely circle those games.
Oh yeah,
Because
because
maybe I still think Furman is in this battle. They're tied in the loss column with the other two, so they just fell behind in games played.
Furman, while they haven't always played up to it, probably has the highest ceiling. I mean, Furman's—they should be so much better than what they are.
Okay, and I think so it's gonna be interesting if assuming we can get these Furman Greensboro games in, those should be a pair of games that
Yeah.
absolutely you should be circling on your calendar. Southland Conference, quick note, couple Stephen F. Austin picked up another win. It was a close one at Corpus Christi, only by 9 points against what is a pretty bad Corpus Christi team that actually gave Sam Houston a battle
Yeah.
last week also. So
Right.
Corpus Christi showing a little life lately, but that game is not on the screen, but that would give Sam Houston actually a half game lead. I'm sorry, Stephen F. Austin a half game lead over Sam Houston and Nicholls State, and 2 games in the win column over Abilene Christian, but we mentioned it last week, David. We've got a good 4-team battle here, I think.
Yeah, and Nichols kind of a surprise team, or at least they kind of surprised me. I know you and Rocco like them a little more. SFA beating their rivals over the weekend.
Sam Houston, yep.
Yeah, and I think that while again, 7-3 overall against D1 teams and weren't expecting much, not impressive right away, but looking really impressive now. And I don't know. I know that it's a broken record, but SFA, I think that they're the team to beat in the league, is as good as Abilene Christian has looked at times too.
I agree with you. And SFA recently has played that way, although we are still waiting for the NCAA to make a decision on SFA's request that their APR ban be in effect this year. So they may go into red despite the fact that they've suddenly become the best team in this conference. Or maybe they're going to withdraw the request
Or
for all
maybe
we
they're
know.
drawing the request.
Go
Okay, yeah. If you're
ahead
just tuning in,
and explain it, David. Yeah.
Stephen F. Austin was issued an APR ban. They applied for a waiver, I or a
A
request. We'll call
postponement.
it
Yeah.
a postpone it from this year until next year, and it was granted. And now, then they changed their
Which is a
minds.
very strange thing to do. I mean, it's not something the assembly normally would grant, but they did for some reason.
Yeah, they did for some reason. And then SFA changed their minds and they were like, no, we want it this year. Did I say that right?
That's exactly right. And the assembly is still considering. They have not made a decision yet.
Yeah.
But the upcoming schedule I put on the screen, a couple of games to circle. First of all, coming up next Monday, Abilene Christian at Corpus Christi. Yeah, I circled that because of the way I mentioned Corpus Christi has suddenly been giving everybody a battle recently.
Yeah.
But the big one Saturday, Nicholls at Sam Houston.
Yeah.
We'll find out just how good this Nicholls team is, David, I think, over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a four-team race. Nicholls actually remaining in the conference, I think.
Nicholls, of those four teams, Nicholls is the only one reading the conference. So if we were doing a Southland 2 years from now thing, Nicholls would be blowing away this conference. So congrats to the Colonels. Go Colonels.
Yeah. So yeah, because they're losing five teams, so they'll be down to eight next year.
Yeah, Central Arkansas on their way out as well over to the A Sun, along with the four teams that are going to the.
Maybe Chicago State will end up here. You know, when you think Southland, you think Chicago.
It's going to be closer than the WAC
team. Yeah, it would be.
Let's go through these last few conferences here. The Southwestern Athletic Conference. Alabama A&M had been that crazy undefeated at 4-0. They finally ran into. To the buzzsaw that is this Prairie View team that is playing great basketball by SWAC standards, got crushed by them on Saturday. The Alabama game actually lost again to Texas Southern on Monday night, but Prairie View also win over Alabama State, David. I think this team is heads and shoulders better than everybody else.
Jackson State keeping pace, but they're not.
It's a quirk of scheduling for Jackson State. That's
right.
All.
Yeah. I agree. It's Prairie View. I just think they're going to eventually break away from everybody else.
I think they almost have already. Jackson is at Alcorn and at Southern. I don't think that Jackson's going to be able to sweep that trip. Prairie View is at Texas Southern for the second time. They beat them the first time. If you think that Texas Southern is the second best team in this conference, on Saturday, the conference race could be over if Prairie View gets the sweep.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Summit League, where the team that we have been focusing in on all season this conference has been South Dakota State, who we would really like to see back on the court one of these days, David.
Yeah, it would be nice. I remember way back when they used to play. They are pretty good. But
you know what? With the way the schedules have worked, the Yotes got Omaha. We talked about it last week. They swept Omaha, which we thought they would do.
Yeah.
They're four games ahead of South Dakota State in the win column right now.
I mean, that's pretty remarkable. South Dakota State has not been playing, and their in-state rivals, the Yotes, taking full advantage of it. This South Dakota State team, I just think that they are so much better than the rest of the league. I know that they lost an out-of-conference game to – forget who.
South Dakota.
Yeah, to South Dakota, which is worth noting. But, I mean, when you look at their talent and when you look at their ceiling and what – if anybody's going to make a good account of themselves on the round of 64 at South Dakota State, if they can get there.
Right. Shout out to Rocco, who told us last week how much he liked – how he thought this Kansas City team was coming on now that now they've got an extra player eligible. And they almost beat North Dakota State twice, and they did get the split in that series over the week. So Kansas City, a team that could cause trouble maybe when we get to Sioux Falls for the conference tournament, we get to Sioux Falls for the conference tournament.
Yeah, assuming. I'm so
here's dumb. The upcoming schedule. South Dakota State allegedly has got South Dakota at home this weekend. Hopefully those games actually happen. We really want to see them.
You do. And I say this about North Dakota State, you want to watch this game. It is a fun game. Oh, wait.
We want to watch this game just because we want to see South Dakota State's place of basketball as well.
Right, yeah.
Sunbelt Conference. This is a
conference is eating itself.
Well, I'll tell you what, David. We talk about every year teams being schizophrenic. You know, teams that win games that they're supposed to lose and lose games they're supposed to win, like Marquette.
Yeah.
Welcome to conference schizophrenia.
Yeah.
This entire conference, every time we think we've got this league figured out, oh, it's Georgia State. No, they completely fall apart. Oh, it's Texas State. They looked awful. It's Little Rock. No, not them.
No,
oh, it's Appalachian State. They pick up a couple of big wins, and then they go and lose to Troy. It's not them. They get swept by Troy. I mean, coming off of a sweep of Georgia State, they get swept by Troy, Appalachian State. I'll tell you, though, I have a team that I'm finally focusing in on this conference.
Is it Louisiana?
It is the Ragin' Cajuns.
Okay. That's who
I'm
I would.
Very, I'm, yeah. This is, they went to Texas State, who we were praising a week ago and got a sweep on the road. The only team to win on the road. Well, Arlington picked up a road win, but two out of the three road wins in this conference this week came from Louisiana.
Yeah, I like them too. I still can't help but think Georgia State, once they finally wake up, might be the strongest team if they can get through the conference tournament. But Louisiana State playing the best right now.
Louisiana, absolutely. I am now, which means that Louisiana is at Arkansas State, who's not that good this week. They'll probably get swept there because that's
what. Yeah, I mean, because that's just what happens in the Sun Belt this year. It's the Fun Belt. That's what it is.
Coastal Carolina, who's now in first place in the East Division, they're at South Alabama. So keep looking at these games. It's they've been great games across this conference all season.
Right,
but
yeah,
it's been Chanticleers. Crazy.
Clears. Yeah.
We have one last conference to hit tonight, though, David. Since we already hit the WAC, we want to do a quick update on where we stand in the Front Range standings.
Yeah, our favorite conference, the favorite mythical conference, Colorado's still in first place. This conference does get an automatic bid, just so you know, just so long as Colorado is inside the bubble.
or could if Colorado State gets inside the bubble as well.
Yeah, or if Colorado State gets
poor Colorado State has not gotten a conference game in yet, kind of like Howard hadn't gotten a conference game in. Good news is Colorado State coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night.
The range war.
it is the border war. It's the other border war, the Colorado-Wyoming border war. Thursday, Saturday at Wyoming, a pair of huge Front Range games coming up.
Yeah, it is. And we don't get a full Front Range schedule this year because of COVID. No Colorado State. I don't think Colorado plays Wyoming either, but we want it back in its full force.
We'll get Colorado State Air Force in a couple weeks, hopefully, as well. On that note, though, let's go to our top 10 list. How's that sound?
Okay, yeah. I'm curious. I'm anxious to see
this. Our Hoops HD under their top 10. Rocco Miller did vote on this. So it's David, you and I, as long with Rocco, we have a handful of honorable mentions, teams that got votes either as honorable mentions or to make the top 10 but didn't quite make it. Eastern Kentucky, who we talked about.
Eastern UNC, Kentucky not in. Okay.
Yeah. UNC Greensboro. Grand Canyon, the Lopes, got an honorable mention. UAB got a little bit of attention. How about Prairie View running away with the SWAC, getting into the top?
Did they get an honorable mention, or did they actually get voted into
They got voted into an honorable mention by me.
Okay.
and Colgate also.
Yeah, that one makes sense. I can live with that one.
But here we go. Number 10 in our top 10 list is Liberty. Hanging in there, the top 10.
Kind more of potential than results.
Coming in number 9, UC Santa Barbara.
Ooh, the Gauchos. Yeah, into the top. Okay.
Not in first place in their conference, but the highest rated team in the under-the-radar top 10 is the Gauchos. Yeah. Wright State coming in number 8. We talked about that. But here again, a team second place in their conference, the highest rated team in their conference in the top 10.
Yeah.
At number 7, we got Kent State.
Kent State, that is high.
Okay, very high rating for Kent State.
I can't wait to see where Toledo is.
At number 6, we've got nobody. Let's try that again. Number 6, we got South Dakota State.
South Dakota State, yeah.
Hasn't been on the court, but hopefully we will see them this week. Number 5, we've got Winthrop.
Yeah.
For that first loss.
Still kind of getting voted high despite the loss, I guess.
I think they still deserve to be that high.
Yeah.
Number 4, we got Belmont.
Love this Belmont team. And again, they are dangerous. They're fun to watch play.
And number 3, we got Western Kentucky.
Yeah, riding a lot on that win against Alabama. And again, more of a potential vote because they've had some clunker losses, but still really good.
There's Toledo at number two.
Yeah.
Great Toledo team. And no surprise, yet another team that's not in first place in this conference, although its first place team isn't even eligible to be on this list. Loyola Chicago at number one.
Chicago. Yeah. Drake not voted because ineligible to being in the actual top 25.
Exactly. They're in the real top 25. They can't make our top 10. But Loyola coming in at number one on our list here, followed by Toledo and Western Kentucky.
And I would imagine that was a pretty unanimous 1 and 2.
It was. I think the top 3 teams we all had. I think the order should switch around a little bit, but it was pretty unanimous there. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, though, I'm going to go ahead and pull this down here, and we'll run to any other final thoughts. David, any other final thoughts on the evening?
I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of the cancellations. It's been interesting. It's been great that we've been able to get the seasons in, but I want the fans back. And I want, yeah, and I want these under the radar teams to get their full chances at bye games and chances to prove themselves, like Siena and some of the other ones that we haven't had. I won't miss this when it's over. And I think that we're much closer to the end than we are the beginning.
Well, David, I've got to say here that we saw tonight, this is not under the radar at all, but we saw a huge upset tonight before we started the show with East Carolina, who probably should be under the radar, but East Carolina getting their biggest win in program history by knocking off number five Houston at home. And it was, I've never been a fan of court stormings. I don't like them. I really don't like them. And I don't think they're justified, honestly, in any case. But I honestly sat there watching the end of that game, missing the fact that we were not going to be seeing a court storm because it was not possible. I missed not being able to complain about the court storming tonight. That's what I missed.
Yeah, and it definitely would have happened had fans been allowed.
Oh, absolutely.
We would have seen a lot tonight because there have been a lot of upsets tonight. And the Johnnies right now up 14 on Villanova, if you're not following.
Yes, and the fans would have been storming that court as well. Probably. Yeah. Actually, the game probably would have been in Madison Square Garden.
So
they probably wouldn't have been storming the court
there. that's a harder role. It's the student section doesn't sit right on top of the court there.
But if for some reason they were playing in Carneseca, but anyhow, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night with a bracket rundown show, a different format that we've been using in the past. It'll be exciting. It'll be fun. It'll be David will probably get buzzed. He did not get buzzed tonight for some reason. But he's David Griggs. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.